Hey everyone, this is Haley and Marissa, and we're from Authors in Training, and today we'll be discussing some writing exercises.
This is gonna be a fun episode. Okay, so for those who don't know, writing exercises are things you can do to get your, you know, creative juices flowing or practice your writing. It's different from writing prompts, which are basically things you put into your writing. Like, a prompt could be, "I love you," he said. "I know," she said. And you gotta find a way to put that in your writing. That's a writing prompt. So, writing exercises are different, and we're going to show you some, we're going to tell you about some writing exercises that we've found online or we've made up, and then we'll show you some examples that we wrote ourselves.
We wrote these, obviously, before the episode, so when we get there, we'll talk a little bit more about them then, but yes. They're at the end.
So, Marissa, why don't you start us off?
Well, the first one we have is that I found in one of my creative writing classes. It's make a story about an odd picture, and basically you either do this online or you open a book and you find a picture and you have to write a story about it. Mine was about a man leaning against a stack of books with two birds on his shoulder staring at a large polka-dotted flounder.
I also did this in my English literature class. We had a book that had a picture and a line under it. And so mine was a picture of, it was a basement, and down the stairs you see a door, or a little red door. I don't remember what the sentence said, but for some reason I took that, and I was like, yes, it's about a kid that's been being abused by his dad, and he goes into this small room to hide from him, and in the end he gets killed.
Wow, Haley. See, mine was just about a writer who, this was the flounder was the physical manifestation of his, you know, work, and that it didn't come out right because the flounder had polka dots. Yes.
Well, now you know who we are as writers.
It's weird, because normally it's the other way around.
Very true. Usually I'm the one with the weird ideas and you're the one with the dark ones.
Yeah, just, you know, hey, let's just do this to a character, but that may kill them.
They'll live, trust me. I'll make them live. The next one, Marissa actually made up herself. We call this the senses prompt. And basically, you take a character, and either you can write from your perspective or another character's perspective, and you talk about that character only using the five senses. Like, whenever I think of a character, this specific character, I see flower blossoms, I smell a specific perfume, I taste chocolate, I hear car horns blaring, and I... Not smell. What is the other sense? But you know what I mean.
I love how it was all romantic stuff until you got to the car one.
Look, I don't claim to be a really good improver. I had to, you know, I had to switch things up, whatever. But you get it. It's very good because it kind of helps you get more into the character's head, more into seeing how characters see other characters, and it helps you write senses into your writing.
Yeah, and it's very quick. It's, you know, like, when you think of this character, what do you taste? Which could just be, what do they like to eat? Like, for my character, I taste, like, blood, marshmallows, and wine. She's a killer, so obviously it'd be in your mouth, so come on. But another one is a scene from two people's point of view, and you can do this two ways. One is you start a scene in one character's point of view, and then you take a break and continue the scene in another character's point of view, or you just redo the first paragraph in another person's point of view. You'll see this as one of our examples later, where we just continue on the scene.
Another one is describing a place in the point of view of someone who's never been there, and another who calls it home. It helps with description, and it's very interesting to see the differences when describing the same place, just on with different points of view.
Exactly. And it helps with tone a lot, obviously, because your house is very welcoming, and or should be very welcoming and fuzzy.
Mm-hmm.
But to a stranger, it may seem very, you know, cold or, you know, off-putting.
Yeah.
To be in someone else's house. Another one that we found was it's called sentence verb noun, and you get 5 minutes for each section, and basically each section is revealed after, you know, the previous sections. First, you start off with a sentence like, "I like pie." Easy enough. And you have to incorporate it as the first line or, like, bit of dialogue or the first sentence of your, you know,
story.
Thank you. And then after 5 minutes, you get a verb such as burn.
Then you have to add burn into it somehow, some way. Get creative.
Yeah, get creative. And then lastly, you get a noun such as parakeet.
Pizza. Okay.
I don't know, I was trying to break it up a bit. And somehow a parakeet or a pizza has to fit into your story. It's really good for creating a more interesting kind of flow to the story. Get something kind of breaking the mold that's from what you're used to.
And it's very fun. It gets you thinking creatively and on the spot.
Yeah, get, you know, more improv. But it sees what, you know, your brain, without, you know, overthinking it, can produce.
Another one is figure out the character based on solely dialogue and a question. This is one we both came up with one day because we were bored, and it was like 2 a.m. And so basically, you take, this is good if you have a co-writer, but you could do it like, you can, I guess you could do it by yourself too. So you have a question like, what is your favorite animal? And then you take, you know, whatever number of characters you want, and you write their answers, and then have someone who knows your characters, or you could just, you could skip this part, I guess, if you want, but have someone guess who it is just based on the dialogue. It's a good test to see if your character has a distinct voice or not.
And it also provides different answers. There was a lot of times when we did it that you would tell me, like, you're never gonna get this because you just figured it out. So it's information I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it happened only once with me where I was like, yeah, you may not get this. This is either, this is information you don't know, or it's information I mentioned once, like, a year ago.
It also really tested how well I knew your characters. Freaking Eric and his freaking leg.
I'm not even gonna explain that. It's just too awkward. Moving on. Another exercise is what I call 7x7x7, which is you find the 7th novel on your bookshelf, you open it up to page 7, look at the 7th sentence on that page. From there, you begin a poem or a story, depending on what you want to do, that begins with that sentence, and you limit yourself to 7 lines. And that's not 7 sentences, it's 7 lines going down the page.
Yeah.
I was confused.
I found this one online. I'll put a link in our Facebook page when this comes out so you know where to find some of these prompts. Where you can find some of these exercises. But when he put it down, he said it was a poem, which is why it's 7 lines. But for our purposes, since we're not really poets, I decided to change it to a story because it can work the same way. So another one, it's called Switch Persona, and you write a mini story in the first person. Take on the persona of someone with a different gender, different nationality, and different age. It kind of helps you, it's a good exercise in writing people who aren't like you, who are like someone you've, like, if you're white male in your mid-30s. Sorry, white males in your mid-30s, not to call you out.
No, but, no, call them out.
Yeah. And you can practice writing an African-American teenage girl.
I'd love to see that.
That'd be interesting.
I had to do that once for my playwriting class, where you wrote something, it was a gay plays class too, so you wrote something you're passionate about, such as the bathroom issue, like, mm-hmm. transgender.
Yeah.
And you had to write for 5 minutes on that, and then you switch to someone who disagreed with that to see kind of their evidence and to get their side. Because you're going to have to write characters that disagree with your values.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped a lot of people. One that I have not tried, but I want to, is answer 3 questions, which is you pick any 3 questions and answer them as quickly as you can, such as, who is Ethan? Why is he crying? And what is he going to do about it? And you write a little story about possibly that, if you mm-hmm. like the answers, or, you know, go until you're like, this is, gotta find a good one.
I think it helps if you're trying to, you have to get to the point.
Yes.
It kind of, like, cuts out the fat of your writing.
Yes, just, you know, focus it, if you have that issue.
Mm-hmm. So another one is, this one is simple, you've probably already done it, you might have done it in class, because that's when I first learned about it. It's basically just free writing. Write whatever comes to your brain. Just write a stream of consciousness. It doesn't matter if you're literally writing, I have to write this, I don't really know what to write. I guess I'm hungry? It doesn't matter, just keep writing for, let's just say, like, 5 minutes. It kind of helps you just to write, and it's very therapeutic.
It is. I write a lot about the weather, ironically enough, So if you read my writing, it tends to start with what the weather is, just because a lot of my stream of consciousness tends to be like, where am I and what's like the current status of the day. So if it's very windy, I'll write, it's super windy today and my hair hates it. Just to kind of get the story going. But that's typically what it is, so it's kind of boring because half the time it's sunny. Welcome to Vegas.
No, mine is usually, I always start with, I'm not sure what I should write. I'm not really good at writing things on the spot. I like chocolate. That's how my mind works. It just goes, my mind, when I'm kind of forced to think about something, it does random stuff, and it usually starts with food. That's the first, my first random thoughts are always food. I like pie.
That explains a lot about you.
Yeah.
Really, guys, if you knew her, I have so many stories where, there's, a hot male, and she doesn't see it, or see him, because of food.
Food is the number one love of my life.
Food is love, food is life. Moving on. Last but not least, we have our writing exercises that we have provided for you. Before we begin this, I'm going to say that we have not edited these. Haley was very adamant about you seeing our writing, rough draft, and laugh. You guys can laugh at us. It's okay. And we're laughing at each other.
It'll make you feel better, so you'll know when you do these writing exercises, you know it's not going to be good.
Well, it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to eat. It may come out something awesome. That happens a few times, but we didn't want to present you something pristinely clean, like, oh yes, hair flip.
This is how we do it.
Ugh, I wake up like this all the time, makeup, hair done, ugh.
This is just how I naturally write. Perfection.
24/7, totes. Okay. Well, first we're starting off with the sentence noun verb exercise, and Taylee's going to go first.
Yay.
Thank God. The sentence is, there is no time, the verb is melting, and the noun is blank.
I guess I'll start now. Yay. Look out for those words and how I creatively use it. Okay, starting now. There was no time. Judy wiped the sweat off her brow. It felt like the room was getting hotter, but she knows it wasn't possible. The numbers continued to count down. Time was almost up, but she wasn't ready. She wasn't sure what to do. Her hand shook as she looked back out the door. No one was at the door yet. Good, let's keep it that way. She looked back at the countdown, willing it to go down faster. She glanced up at the clock. 11:59. She wasn't gonna make it. She considered taking it out right now, but that wouldn't end well. Whether she waited or took it out now, she would be screwed. But she had to pick the lesser of two evils. She had to pick satisfaction or being swarmed by a mob. She looked back at the clock, still 11:59, but not for long. Even if she took it out now, she wouldn't get out in time. Resigned to her fate, she prayed for God's mercy. The clock struck 12. A beep rung out. She put it on top and started the 10-second countdown. Voices echoed down the hall. She wiped off the sweat. Her entire body was shaking. The room was heating up. She willed time to go faster. Melt faster! The voices were getting closer. There was more of them. The beep echoed in the room, and she grabbed the popcorn out of the microwave and mixed the melted butter and salt in. She turned around, ready to sprint out the door. Oh, hey! Popcorn! Thanks, Judy! Judy stood in the break room in defeat as hands reached into the bowl and stole her creation. By the time everyone entered the room and pillaged her snack, she was in tears. She looked down at the empty bowl. Not a kernel was left. The rest of the room fell away. She only focused on her growling stomach and the bowl which held her salvation. She closed her eyes and sighed. God had failed her. He ignored her. He didn't care. No one did. She didn't want to do this, but she made herself a promise. Her co-workers, the ones who use her, abuse her, ignored her, they needed to be punished. And God wasn't going to do it. She dropped the bowl and reached into her pocket. Hey, Judy, are you okay? She pulled out the gun in her pocket.
What I honestly love about it is it's so dramatic, but it's over popcorn. But, I mean, let's be real. Her co-workers totally deserved it.
They're such dicks.
They are. That's like you making yourself a sandwich and then your family coming over and just eating it in front of you. And then walking off like, thanks for the sandwich. guys, what do you expect me to do now for food?
It is inspired by my family who likes to eat my slice of pie. But... This is a podcast about writing, not my problems.
At least not this podcast.
Yeah. Honestly, the only reason I had her, like, pull out a gun was because I kind of got to where I wanted it to end, but I still had time left. So I was like, ah, whatever, she's just going to shoot up the place. And that's where my mind goes.
Okay, I think we'll move on to mine now. You need to be Drake, the dialogue.
Okay.
Three people talk in this.
All right.
Okay, so here's mine, guys. Remember, there was no editing in this. There is no time, Nemo cried, looking over the burnt cupcakes. Drake looked over his shoulder with an arched eyebrow. Nemo wanted to nudge him away.
Are you sure we didn't make chocolate cupcakes?
He asked idiotically. Nemo broke one of the cupcakes in half, revealing a red velvet center. Positive. Now we'll have nothing to give at the potluck. Nemo pouted, knowing it was all his fault. He'd been watching the football game instead of listening to the timer. Drake took one half of the broken cupcake and bit into it.
Tastes fine to me,
he said with a full mouth. Nemo smacked his arm. That's because you have no taste buds. You couldn't taste the difference between dog shit and chocolate, Nemo snapped and threw the cupcakes into the trash.
So we won't go to the potluck. We can watch Netflix and order pizza instead.
But I promised we'd go.
Why? You don't even like Shelley,
Drake said, still eating the burnt cupcake.
Didn't she come between you and your last girlfriend?
Yes, Nemo snapped, feeling his blood burn as if it would melt his skin off, or maybe the bad memories. He was only going because Shelley had connections in the job he wanted, and he hoped she would give him a chance to prove himself.
I wouldn't go, dude. She's not worth it,
Drake said, and walked to the living room, where the game was on mute. The Dolphins were getting creamed by the Patriots. Maybe Drake had a point. Nemo could get that job by himself if he faked some confidence, and catching up on the 7 deadly sins would be nice. Suddenly, the phone called, but the phone ID was blank. Nemo answered, thinking it was a telemarketer, but all he heard was heavy breathing. Hello? He said.
Nemo?
A voice said. It sounded ragged, and Nemo couldn't identify the gender. Yes, who is this?
It's Lena.
Lena? He hadn't seen her since they broke up after she was convinced he was cheating on her with Shelley. Lena, are you okay? You sound sick, Nemo asked, causing Drake to turn and look at him, confused.
Are you with Shelley? Is she there?
Lena nearly yelled as terror gripped her voice. No? Why? Are you all right?
No, I got into some trouble. Listen, you need to stay away from Shelley, or she'll get you too. Just stay away.
Then she hung up.
This is a prime example of the magic of, you know, writing exercises, because after I read it, we decided, you know what? We should make this into a movie. And so we literally spent hours outlining a script. And it was all inspired by this one writing exercise.
Yeah, about these, I told Haley that Drake and Nemo are just two very simple dudes who just want pizza, and I thought it'd be hilarious if Shelley pulled them into this, like, kind of spy flick, like, you will be mine! And they're like, bro, I just want to go home and eat.
Like, can I just get that pizza?
Just please? And that's their entire motivation, just, I want to go home and eat pizza. And we thought it was hilarious. One day, we will put that script in actual writing and not just outlining.
That'd be wonderful. It's so hilarious. At least I think so.
I think so. I think the concept's funny. Guys, tell us in Twitter, which we'll tell you at the end of this. So the next writing exercise is a scene from two people's point of view, which I was talking about earlier. And sadly, I am up first this time.
Yay!
So the first bit is from Phasma's point of view.
So we're... Okay, just to give you some background, when we did this one, we decided we wanted to use our characters from the book we're writing. So things might not make sense, and it's okay if it doesn't make sense because it has stuff to do with the book, especially on mine. But it has stuff...
Mainly yours.
Yeah, it has stuff to do with the book that we can't tell you just in case we end up... Well, not just in case, because we are. When we end up publishing this, if we were to, like, explain some things, it might be spoilers.
Especially for yours.
Yeah.
Mainly yours.
Yeah.
So, you guys do get a little bit of a preview of our characters, kinda. These are rough draft versions of them. But anyway, as I was so rudely interrupted.
Hi.
The first bit of this is from Phasma's point of view, and then we'll have a break, and then it'll be Malik talking. Yes. And, Haley, will you do the Malik dialogue?
I guess so.
Please and thank you. Here we go. The room was dimly lit, with candles on the nightstand and a few open tables. The smoke had filled the room with the scent of roses and made the room appear hazy. Phasma clenched her jaw at the sight. Her hand grabbed the cold metal door handle to leave, but it was locked.
We need to talk.
Malik's voice was low as he walked into the candlelight. Phasma glared at him. We can speak in your study as we usually do. I do not feel comfortable in your bedroom, Malik. Phasma spat as she held her arms. This was not a place for her eyes to see.
There is, because we are not discussing work.
Malik drew closer, forcing Phasma to press her back into the door. She couldn't harm him, but there had to be a way out. There is nothing for us to discuss other than work, Malik. Unlock the door.
No.
Malik closed the space between them.
There is something we need to discuss.
He hissed into her ear. Here's the break. Now Malik's point of view. This was where she should have been instead of her. He hated sleeping next to a pillar of ice when he once had a woman who burned like a pyre. If he could convince her, make her see how great they could be, then he could leave Xena. She was no longer the woman he married, and it killed him to think of Phasma in the arms of someone else. He was sure there was someone, like the hatmaker she visited too frequently. But there was also times when she would disappear at night. Phasma turned her head away from him. Back off, she said through a clenched jaw. Malik took her hands and pulled her into the center of the room. He could see in the low lighting that she was tense. What do you want? She asked impatiently.
You.
The word slipped out before he could think and felt his stomach drop. And there we go. I know it ends abruptly, but that's what happens with these little exercises. They just end, and it's kind of sad.
Yeah, but that got really creepy.
Welcome to Malik.
He's a creepy dude.
Oh my god, yes he is.
He's a creeper.
I creep on you.
But you haven't seen creepy until you read what I have, what's next for you.
If I have to give any pre-information, the characters Will and Hatter are not lovers, nor were they ever word lovers. You'll see what I mean later.
Yeah.
Just keep that in like the forefront of your mind, that they aren't together or ever were together.
And they never will be together.
Thank God.
Okay. All right.
Oh, wait. The first part is from Will's perspective, and the second part is from Hatter's perspective.
Great. All right. A light shined through the darkness as the door opened, revealing a figure crouched in the corner. Chains rattled as Will turned his head away from the light. The man in the doorway chuckled as he entered the room and turned on the light. Will hissed as the light stung his eyes.
Morning,
Hatter said as he closed the door and moved towards him. Leave me alone, Will groaned. His voice was faint and his throat felt raw.
Don't be like that. I just wanted to check up on you,
Hatter said as he crouched down in front of him. Will turned his head away. He didn't want to see the amusement that would no doubt be in his eyes. Why don't you kill me? Hatter tilted his head.
Why would I do that?
You killed the others.
That's because they would have been in the way.
You already have another Will. The perfect Will. Hatter sighed.
All right, you got me. The thing is, I can't kill you. Not because of whatever feelings I have for you, but because I literally am not able to kill you. Believe me, I've tried.
Hatter's hand shot out and grabbed his chin and forced him to look at him.
Why can't I kill you?
He growled. Here's the switch to Hatter's point of view. William tried to jerk his head from my grip, but I held tighter. I don't know, he growled. There's defiance in his eyes, and hidden below that is fear. I grin.
William, you never fail to surprise me. That's why I like you.
I let go of his jaw, smiling at the marks left behind.
Well, until we figure out this problem, you're gonna have to stay here.
I moved to stand up, but stopped as William yelled, Wait! He sat up and fidgeted with the cuffs on his wrist. In a timid voice, he said, Let me go. Please. I don't want to be alone anymore. It's so dark. He turned his face away from me, but I could see the tears he tried to hold back fall. I crouched down again. I took a handkerchief from his pocket and wiped the tears from his face. I ran my fingers through his hair comfortingly. I smiled when William sighed and moved closer. I'm reminded of the days when it was just him and me, no one else. I was his only comfort back then. I was all he needed. With one last pat, I stood up and said,
You are staying here until you die. Hopefully that will be soon.
William yelled and screamed and pleaded as I walked away from him. His chains rattled violently as he tried to break free. As I closed the door, my chest started to burn, so I laughed. As you can see, I kind of did things differently in the second half. For some reason, I thought we were going to write in the first person.
Versus the third person?
Yeah, in the second half. I don't know how that happened, but...
I don't know, but it's always entertaining because I never remember. So, if it's always like, oh yeah, that's a thing! Whoops. Okay, on to our last exercise, the 7x7x7, which we mentioned earlier. And thankfully, Haley's gonna go first.
Yay!
You can tell how excited she is.
So, my book that I ended up getting was Never Fade by Alexandra Bracken. And you'll see what the first sentence, the sentence I got from it is, because it's the first sentence. All right. I couldn't see Rob's eyes beneath his night vision goggles as the green light flashed, but I didn't need to in order to read his intentions. I reached out desperately to grab him, but it was too late. Rob ran out of our hiding place, holding his gun ready, ran across the hall, and slid behind a desk. I put my hand over my mouth to make sure I didn't make a sound. I peeked over the desk I was hiding from. Rob had his gun aimed at the man who held a gun to a woman's head. We took out the other bank robbers, and there was only him left. I watched as Rob aimed his gun and held my breath. I felt my heart pounding, knowing Rob's was too. Then it stopped as he took the shot. I got really violent when we did these.
Yeah, but I didn't exactly have the chance to, given the book that I got.
Yeah. So, I kind of made Marissa keep with this one, because it wasn't from a fiction book. But I kind of decided to make her keep it because I wanted an example of how you can take something from nonfiction and still use it for the writing exercise. So
it was a challenge. Can't tell, but I'm super bitter. Okay, so the book I got was The Playwright's Guidebook by Stuart Spencer.
Yeah, you can tell this is going to be exciting.
Oh, super, which is really sad. I feel like this book is very interesting. It's just I haven't gotten around to reading it for one reason or another. Okay, here we go. It is this inherently active process that comprises the immediacy of the experience of reading prose. Val read out loud and groaned. The text had to be read for her play structure and analysis class, but dear, everything was it boring. Her mind whirled around, listing everything she could be doing right now, like finish reading her romance novel, or playing a video game. And there was always YouTube. Life always seemed more interesting when one was forced to do something else. Otherwise, she wouldn't touch her novel, games, or the internet. Next to her, her phone pinged, but she ignored it. No doubt it was her friend asking for a summary of the chapter which still wasn't read.
I think you did pretty good with what you were forced
given.
To take.
Yeah. I mean, I try to add, you know, some excitement with my voice there, because otherwise you're reading this dry paragraph.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be exciting. I could add that, like, the friend's kidnapped or something, but I just didn't have, you know, the space.
Yeah, considering it was only 7 lines. You guys could modify these to however you want. You could make it so it could be 7 paragraphs instead of 7 lines. You could be...
Just make sure it's 7. I wanted to go with 7 sentences, because I actually had, like, it got a bit more exciting, but then Haley was like, no, we're doing 7 lines. Gosh darn it.
Because that's what it was originally. It originally was 7 lines, and we're trying to show people it, and then let them be able to, you know, break the rules.
Now that you know the rules, go forth and break all of them.
Exactly. So, have any guys heard of any of these writing exercises? Have you guys tried them? And if you haven't, try them, and then tell us how you did. Maybe you could show us some examples of things you've written, and especially try the ones that we made up, where we want to know what you guys especially think about those.
Or, tell us if you want us to expand some of the stories that you heard today in some way. Maybe we can go back and add, like, a 10-minute thing and just write whatever you guys want.
Yeah. And tell us if you want us to do this again. Just show you guys us trying writing exercises and reading it to you guys so you can laugh at our minds or cringe at our minds, whatever one you guys were doing. So... check us out on Twitter at Authors Training, and also our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/authorstraining. And join us next time when we talk about good and bad writing habits.
Bye, guys.